We're Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Over to Mike.
Thank you very much, Naomi. It seems to me that this virus has reminded us of how life is like this flower. Very beautiful, but very fragile. The holiday we're looking forward to, really looking forward to, gets cancelled. The wedding day you were dreaming of gets called off. The job you thought was totally secure, it's up in the air. The friends we thought we could always depend on, that they've let us down. Our heart sinks, our health fails, the people we love die. The virus has reminded us that life is very fragile. And in a very fragile world, there is only one thing that is solid, solid like this brick, and that's friendship with God. As Matt said, Paul's in prison and he's writing to his Christian brothers and sisters in Philippi, and he says, chapter 3, verse 1, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Who remembers Snoopy? There is Snoopy showing us what it looks like to rejoice. And what Paul is saying is, if you are friends with God, then whatever happens, even if you're in prison, you always have a reason to rejoice. You always have a reason to celebrate, to sing, to dance. Because whatever happens in life, friendship with God is solid. It won't get cancelled or called off. You can't be laid off from it. He will never let you down. It won't be spoiled by ill health. It won't even be ruined by death. Friendship with God is solid. And if you've got it, if you've got friendship with God, then you have got a reason to rejoice, a rock solid reason to rejoice that starts now and lasts forever. So here is the question. Here is the question. How can we become friends with God? See, the Bible says we're not naturally friends with him. Think of how we treat him. Think of how we live in his world but ignore him. Think of how we think we know better than he does. Think of how we use his name as a swear word. Which means there is a kind of barrier between us and God. There's us. And there is this barrier between us and God that stops us being friends with him. And so the big question is, how can we be friends with God? Paul's in prison. Now he's out the way. There are people telling the Philippians that the way to become friends with God, to get right with God, you need to be religious. You need to be good. Paul says an amazing thing. Do you see that in verse 2? He says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers. Isn't that amazing? He's talking about people who are going around telling you to be religious and be good. And he says, watch out for them, because what they are saying is so dangerous. Isn't that surprising? What they're saying sounds so right. Be religious. Be good. That sounds so right, doesn't it? But it's so, so wrong. But why? Well, for this next bit, I need to just nip out into the garden. So look, are you ready to come with me to the garden? Are you ready? You ready? Let's go. Okay, so I'm out here in the garden and I'm being soaked. Whoa, and I need something to keep me dry. And I need one of these things. I need a magazine. And that's not really keeping me dry. Or a saucepan. That's not really keeping me dry. What about a tennis racket to keep me dry? That's not particularly keeping me dry. I need to pick up a rugby ball. Perhaps is that going to keep me dry? Or some barbecue tongs. That's not going to keep me dry. What about a pump? Is that going to keep me dry? Or a bottle of what is that? Bubble bath. Is that not going to keep me dry? A helmet. All these things, and none of these things are actually going to keep me from getting wet. None of these things are going to keep me dry. None of these things are what I need. And Paul's worried, you see, because people are telling the Philippians that in order to be right with God, what you need is you need to be a good person. You need to be religious. I think lots of people think that. They think that to be right with God, you need to be religious. They say, oh, I'm right with God because I'm spiritual, or I pray, or I go to church, or I come from a Christian family. Or people say, well, to be right with God, you just need to be a good person. And they say, I'm right with God because I'm good, I'm kind, I'm tolerant, I give money to charity. And what Paul is saying is none of these things, just as none of these things keep me dry, none of those things, being good, being religious, make you right with God. None of them. None of these things keep me dry. What is the one thing that I need that will keep me dry? What is the one thing that you think might really, really make a difference here, might really help? Yeah, it's the umbrella, isn't it? But I have a problem. I have a problem, which is I can't pick up the umbrella because I've got all these things. So what I need to do is I need to throw all these things in the bin and grab hold of the umbrella. Oh. And it's the umbrella I need that keeps me dry. And Paul, he was very, very religious and he was very, very good. And he came to see that there's only one thing he needed to make him right with God. And that was to hold on to Jesus and take shelter in Jesus. And sheltering in Jesus, that's what made him right with God. That's the one thing he needed. But you see, he had to get rid of everything else before he get hold of Jesus. I'm going to go back up to my desk and continue the talk. Where were we? Where were we? These people are telling the Philippians that to be friends with God, you need to be religious and you need to be good. And Paul says, watch out. What they're saying is so wrong. Okay, why is it wrong? First reason it's wrong is the things that we do don't make us friends with God. The things that we do don't make us friends with God. Remember the tennis racket? The tennis racket and the magazine and the tongs and all that, they couldn't keep me dry. And Paul says, look down at verse 3, he says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. You see, no confidence in the flesh. That the flesh is the things that we do. And Paul says, I put no confidence in the things that we do, because they won't make us right with God. Praying won't make me friends with God. Going to church won't make me friends with God. Being good or kind won't make me friends with God. Giving money to charity, helping others, none of that will make me friends with God. You say, really? Is that right? Well, look at what Paul says about himself. If you've got your Bible, second half of verse 4, he says, look, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Do you see what he's saying about himself? He's saying, I was super religious. I was a super good person. Paul has ticked more boxes than you or I could ever imagine ticking. But it still didn't make him friends with God. The rugby ball and the magazine and the bubble bath couldn't keep me dry. The things we do don't make us right with God. It's the first thing he wants them to know. The second thing is it gets worse. The things we do actually stop us from being friends with God. Look at verse 7. Paul talks about gain and loss. Verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. She said, I thought being a Hebrew of Hebrews and keeping the law was a gain, that it made me friends with God. And then I realized it was a loss. It actually stopped me from being friends with God. Why? Because it stopped him from taking hold of Jesus. Think of how all that stuff, where's it gone? It's disappeared from the screen. Think of how all that stuff, the bubble bath and the racket and the helmet and the tongs, see how they're stopping me from holding on to the umbrella. And I meet a lot of people who are busy going to church and being good. And you talk to them about Jesus and they say, well, I don't really think I need Jesus. They think they're okay without Jesus. They say, well, I don't really need him because, well, I go to church and I'm a good person. Do you see? The things we do can't make us friends with God. And worse, the things we do actually stop us from being friends with God. Because just as all that clutter stopped me from taking hold of the umbrella, the things we do stop us from taking hold of Jesus. So what do we need to do with all the things we do? We need to put them in the bin. See what Paul says in verse 8? What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I consider them garbage, or the sort of English for that is I consider them rubbish. I chuck them all into the bin so that I could gain Christ, so that I can get hold of him. Do you see what Paul is saying? When it comes to being friends with God, everything else is rubbish. The only thing I need is Jesus. The things we do can't make us friends with God. The things we do actually stop us from being friends with God. The only way to be friends with God is to take shelter in Jesus. See, there I am. See, in the corner, I've taken shelter under the umbrella. And that's what Paul has done. Do you see at the second half of verse 8? He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. See that phrase? And be found in Jesus. What Paul is saying is when he stands before God, he wants God to find him taking shelter in Jesus. He said, well, why? Because that's the only way to be friends with God. You see what he says in verse 9, how he goes on? Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from law. Think, I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from law. I'm not right with God by what I do. No, rather, I have a righteousness that is through faith in Christ. I'm right with God through faith in Christ. And putting faith in Christ means taking shelter in Christ. Like me, sheltering under the umbrella, because it's the only thing that will keep me dry. You say, well, why does sheltering in Christ make me friends with God? Think of it like this. Think of the back of my hand. The back of my hand is a life that's right with God. It's a life that's friends with God. It's a beautiful life that loves him and loves his ways. But I don't give him the back of my hand. I give him the front of my hand. And even if I am as religious and as good as Paul, it's still not the back of my hand. It's not a life that's right with God. There is this barrier between me and God. But God loves us. And he wants us to be friends with him. So in his love, he gives us his son. And Jesus comes into our world and he takes away the barrier between us and God. He takes away our sin. He dies for it. He pays for it on the cross. Do you see? The barrier is gone. And many people think, well, that's the end of the story. Jesus has sorted it way back then. Jesus sorted it. So I don't really see why I need to take shelter in him today. But look at my hand. God wants the back of my hand. I still give him the front of my hand. I'm still getting wet. I need to take shelter in Jesus. And Jesus comes along, you see, he gives God the back of his hand, a back of the hand sort of a life, the beautiful life that loves God and loves his ways. He is totally, totally right with God. And he says to me, come shelter in me, and I will share my righteousness with you. I will keep you dry. And friends, that's why the Christian life is not all about rules and rituals. It's all about a relationship. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about where you stand with him. It's all about taking shelter in him. And that's why Paul talks about the all-surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Did you catch that in the middle of verse 8? Say, knowing Jesus is the best, better than holidays, better than a new home, better than getting on the team, better than getting the grades, better than a new job, better than getting married, better than good health, better than anything. Because if I know Jesus, if I've taken shelter in him, I am right with God, which means I have the one thing in all the world that is solid. I have friendship with God. And it may be that some of you who are listening to this, you've never got this. And what you need to do is you need to throw all your going to church and doing good, and you need to throw it in the bin. And you need to see it will not make you right with God. You need to take shelter in Jesus. But I guess others, well, you've heard this before. You know it in your head. But like the Philippians, we do need to watch out for the dogs. Because we keep slipping back into thinking the way to be right with God is to be religious and to be good. And you say, no, I don't think that. Who thinks that? Here's the clue that that is what we think. When you've had a bad day, perhaps you've not read your Bible, you're in too much of a hurry to pray, when you lose your temper with your sister, when you go to a dark corner of the web, in that moment, how do you think God feels about you? Do you think that when you mess up, he loves you less? Is that what you think? Well, watch out, because that's the dogs talking, because that's you thinking that you're friends with God because of what you do. You're thinking, if I do good, he will love me. If I mess up, he won't love me. No. Hear what Paul is saying. We're not friends with God because of what I do. We're friends with God because of Jesus. And the Christian life is about taking shelter in him. And what that means is, even when I mess up, he keeps me dry. Even when I mess up, if I am sheltered in Jesus, God looks at me and sees the beauty of Jesus. Means even when I mess up, he looks at me and loves me. Loves me like he loves Jesus. Do you know that? And in a world that is so fragile, the point about his love and the reason it's so wonderful is that it's solid. Because you see, Jesus is right with his Father forever. And if I am sheltering in Jesus, I am right with his Father forever. Friends with God, now and forever. What that means is, whatever happens, he loves me because of Jesus. He loves me, and he's never going to stop loving me. Remember Snoopy, right at the beginning. Do you see him again? That is us sheltering in Christ. If I'm sheltering in Jesus, whatever happens, I have a rock solid reason for rejoicing. Let's pray. Paul writes, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to make us friends with God. Lord Jesus, please show us afresh how good it is to take shelter in you. Thank you that if we have taken shelter in you, we have a rock solid reason for rejoicing, because we're loved by God. We praise your name. Amen. Just before I hand back to Ellie, here's a question. Why do we need Jesus more than anything else? There's a question, just to be talking in households and family groups over tea, just off the back of what we've been thinking about. What would Paul say? Why do we need Jesus more than anything else? It's a question just to be chatting through together. Here's the question. How do we avoid taking... Is that one of the pigeonhole questions? Yes, presumably it is. Well, I think what Paul does, chapter 3, verse 1, it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice means see how brilliant he is and celebrate. So spend some time just pausing and taking in all the ways in which he is worth celebrating. And what's interesting is Paul needs to remind his brothers and sisters to do that. And I need you to remind me, and you need me to remind you. We need to remind each other to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need each other. It's why lockdown's been so hard. It's because we've had to do the Christian life without the usual sort of brothers and sisters urging us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and reminding us about why he is worth rejoicing in, why he's worth celebrating.
Thanks, Mike. The other top voted question is, how did you get dry so quickly?
If I told you that, I'd have to shoot you.
Top secret.
Yeah.
Top secret. It's the mysteries of live streaming.
Yeah.
Mike, it's easy to say that knowing Jesus is greater than anything this world has to offer. I guess this is similar, but how can we practically live that out in our lives?
Well, again, we'll learn it as the letter continues. But you see Paul modeling it, which is he's in prison. He's lost all the kinds of things that we think are wonderful. But he's actually saying, for none of those things are as good as Jesus. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And maybe that's the test. Do I think dying will be gain? See, if for me to live is my holidays or my job or something or sport, to die will feel like a loss because I'll lose my holidays or my sport or whatever. But if for me to live is Christ, then to die is gain because I get to be with him face to face. So I think that Paul is teaching us exactly how to do that. Are we the sort of people who can say, I've lost all kinds of things, but I'm still rich because I have Jesus. I've gone to prison for following Jesus, but I haven't lost the things that really matter. I've lost, my home or my money or my job, even my life, but I've not lost the real treasure. We'll see more of this in the next few weeks.
There's a number more questions, Mike, so it'd be good to talk about those maybe with other Christians in your small group and things like that. But just love to land on this. Someone asked, so how do we become friends with Jesus and shelter in him?
The two Bible words are repent and believe. So repent is turn from thinking I can become friends with God because of the things that I do. Turn from that. So that's never going to make you friends with God. Turn from that and believe. Put your faith in Jesus. Say, he is my only hope. Faith is the opposite of saying, I've got this, I can do this. Faith is saying, I can't do this. Jesus, help me. So that's how you become a Christian. And I think a lot of people worry when they hear this. They worry that, does this mean it doesn't matter how we live? We don't have to pray or be good or go to church anymore. And I just want to sort of speak into that and just reassure people that it's like when you get married, once you're married, you work really hard at pleasing the person you're married to. Or when you're a child, you work really hard at pleasing your parents, but you're not pleasing them to become their child. You already are their child. You're not pleasing the person you're married to get married to them. You already are married to them. And that's what we're thinking about today. So you don't do good things and go to church and read your Bible and pray to become right with God. You do those things to enjoy being right with God. I think that's worth just nailing, that's all.
That's really helpful, and that hits another question that came in as well. So thanks so much, Mike. And if there are more questions you've got coming up, do get in contact with small group members or get in contact via the email address that will be.
Brilliant. Now, as we close, let me pray for us. Paul writes, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you will so unite us to Jesus, giving us such a picture of him and appreciation of what he has done for us, that we will each day in the coming week and in all the days ahead, echo these words of Paul, knowing the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, our Lord. And we pray this for the glory of your name. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll be back at 4 o'clock next week. I hope to see you then.
We're a mix of different ages, different backgrounds, and different lives. We have become a family because of Jesus and his love for us. Here you can ask your questions, here you can share your doubts. One by one you can lay them out because of Jesus and his love for us. Seriously.